John the Baptist wore the same garb. That's why they thought he was Elijah. Same outfit. The king said, that was Elijah the Tishbite. Then he sent to Elijah a captain with his company of 50 men. The captain went to Elijah, who was sitting on the top of a hill, and said to him, man of God, the king says, come down. And right away, there's something wrong with this. What is it? The Lord, again, when he gave directives to the king of what would happen, when they set up the kingdom under the king, he was to assign leaders to the 50s and to the 100s. This was the Lord's direction. A good way to have an army, a good way to answer it. The problem is the captain knows that he is a man of God. And he is about to take him by force to the king who hates him. Again, this is another man with a choice. You know, I wrestled with this. I thought, Lord, he's under the king. I mean, wouldn't it have been his life for Elijah's? Exactly. It would have been his life for Elijah's. Was he willing to protect the Lord's anointed or to be a traitor and go with the king? He has a choice, and he's over these men who are following him. Not only did he have a choice for his life, but the life of his men. And he doesn't make the choice. He just repeats the king's order. As far as it's up to him, whatever the king does is fine. He will use his might and power to support it. Elijah answered the captain, verse 10, if I am a man of God, may fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. Then fire fell from heaven and consumed the captain and his men. At this, the king sent to Elijah another captain with his 50 men. The captain said to him, man of God, this is what the king says. Come down at once. Now, this man didn't learn anything from the first captain. This is a horrible thing. Fire is a horrible thing. And to fall, we can imagine that this fire was like the fire on Mount Carmel. It was fierce. They were just, this probably wasn't a screaming ordeal for an hour or something. This was annihilation. They were killed. Their stuff, their armor would have been lying there. The second captain comes and decides he also will side with the king. Man of God, this is what the king says, come down at once. Verse 12, if I am a man of God, Elijah replied. If I am a man of God, how does he say this? If I am a man of God, if I'm a man of God, in every way he needed to get this. He is a man of God. He is representing the Almighty to Israel. If I am a man of God, Elijah replied, may fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. Then the fire of God fell from heaven and consumed him and his 50 men. So the king sent a third captain with his 50 men. This third captain went up and fell on his knees before Elijah. Sounds like he climbed that hill that Elijah was sitting on. That's brave to start with. He fell on his knees before Elijah. Man of God, he begged, please have respect for my life and the lives of these 50 men, your servants. So he has made a choice. He asks for mercy and respect. But he says, we are your servants, not the king's. So he declares a different allegiance as a leader in Israel. He is still a leader, an under leader, but a leader of men. And he sides with God. See, fire has fallen from heaven and consumed the first two captains and all their men, but now have respect for my life. The angel of the Lord said to Elijah, go down with him. Do not be afraid of him. So Elijah got up and went down with him to the king. Now, Elijah, it sounds like, was afraid. That the angel himself says, don't be afraid of this man. In other words, there's, in a sense, there is nothing underhanded about this request. This is a true request. You can trust this man. Go with him. He told the king, and in a sense, this also means since they're servants of Elijah's, he'll have some protection when he faces the king. The king thinks that they're bringing him in, but he actually has the protection of the men. He's escorted. He told the king, this is what the Lord says. Is it because there is no God in Israel for you to consult that you have sent messengers to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Because you have done this, you will never leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die. So he died, according to the word of the Lord that Elijah had spoken. Because Ahaziah had no son, Joram succeeded him as king in the second year of Jehoram, son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. As for all the other events of Ahaziah's reign and what he did, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel? So we see Elijah this time exercising judgment over the next king. He is always the servant of God, not of the people. He serves God. And that is important, you all, sisters, as we live in the world we live in today, so far from the Lord and the words of the Lord anymore. So easy to want to think that we are more understanding than the Word of God when we look at the issues of the day around us. We don't want to be different. We don't want to stand with stands that the Lord takes against all kinds of sin. And it's costing us, it's costing souls that Jesus died to save. Because without truth, salvation doesn't have any leg to stand on. People don't know they need to be saved from judgment that's coming. Fire didn't come up out of hell and kill these men. Fire came from heaven. I heard a quote from Dallas Willard this week saying, people think that hell is so hot. Heaven is, God wants everybody he can get into heaven if they can stand the heat. Okay? It's a lot more pure and holy and burns up anything not of him. We've lost our fear of the Lord in many, many ways through being raised on the salvation that has made us children of his. We are supposed to be that. But you can see it as you begin to share it, perhaps even with teenagers or people who others outside who have not grown up knowing the Lord, that they don't understand the need for salvation. Well, that's just your viewpoint that you think something's wrong and somebody needs to be saved from it. And we need to stand with saying, I don't understand why this might be wrong. I mean, I can understand why people fall into this sin or do this or that, and we're not to be going around speaking favorite sins that God hates to people, that they're caught in one. But they're all sin, and we need to be able to discuss this and say, Lord, am I sinning here? And when we ask and consult the Lord for his word and counsel, and we're to go to others for that within the body of Christ, we are to judge one another, Corinthians says. We're to make peace on the way to the judge, not do like the world does, but to have some kind of peace with one another based on the peace that Christ brought us, that we were deserving of judgment and received mercy. So can we not be merciful towards one another? Can we not speak the truth and be willing to be the one who takes less in the deal? Can we not do that? Or do we have to have our rights just constantly supported? This is the part where I feel like for us, and this was one of the reasons we chose this book, that we stand in very slippery times, even within Christendom, to stand on what the Lord says is true. And I may not understand it, but for me and my house, we're going there. This is what the Lord teaches. And it's hard, especially with your children, because they've grown up in a godless society. It is very post-Christian. The kids that grew up in my kids' era, the high school was not a godly place to be, and the teachers did not support godliness. There was not a place to talk and say, well, now we need to look at this from another viewpoint. There was one viewpoint. The very small and narrow viewpoint was theirs. No truth could be argued back and forth about what might really be the truth about this thing. You might hear, stay away from this or stay away from that, but not the value of why it's important to stay away, or how precious your mind is and how valuable truth is, and you were made for truth to program your thinking and your behavior. On Humanities Day in our public schools in this area in the Chapel Hill side, there are witches. Every year there are witches. And they have a big seminar for the kids with the witches teaching it. And Chapel Hill parents, there's nothing we could do about it. That's just the multicultural agenda. We call it that, whatever that means. Multicultural means going to Ekron. Okay, this is what we're talking about, that we would allow it. I'm not saying that politically we can change that, but there are Christians who go in, and there was a wonderful teacher there who stood for Jesus and did a great debate on evolution and creation in front of the kids. And he had great support from the Christians of the bunch and respect from those that did not know the Lord. This man talked in a way that had greater value than just pure science. There's more to that story. You can't look at a sunset and think these things just happen. They might happen, but why do we think it's beautiful? There's just too many questions with it that never get talked about when truth is not the agenda. So when I'm preaching at us today, and I know I'm doing it, it's that we need to be sharpened. Lord, I want to be your servant and be unapologetic about your gospel, which has the power to save. To be unafraid to say, I needed saving. I made mistakes. I was in a new group a few weeks ago, and we were going around introducing ourselves. And by the end of the night, you know, I felt like I needed to really speak up my sins because they were so good. And we were a new group, kind of bringing two groups together. And the things I knew about the old group were hidden. And just their best stuff was put in their introduction to one another. But this is supposed to be a group for truth-telling. They were PhDs, and I went here, and I went there, and I did this. And I said, well, you know, I never graduated from college. And I came to the Lord after I broke into a house in the third grade. And, I mean, I just put it out there because I don't want people to think anything of me other than the salvation I've received. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back with this. I'm saying that's the best thing we can wear. Is his mercy that he extended to us, because then everybody else in the room gets to say, well, yeah, and well, I have been divorced, and I have this, and I do have, and they get to bring up the real and experience the mercy of God. When we present ourselves and our truth is something to attain to, or mad at people that they won't attain to God's truth, if we went in anger, to back up to an example in the high school, if you argue with that, then you lose. You can't argue in dialogue with evil either. You speak the testimony of what the truth is. God says this is wrong, and you have a choice. There's a God who made heaven and earth, and every good and perfect gift comes from above. You can embrace that. Or you can think you need special knowledge from other sources who do not want to tell you the whole truth. And you speak to the people hearing it. Don't argue with the witch. You will not win arguing with the witch. You'll get confused. This is what we do. We try and argue the wrong side. Always we are to stand as ambassadors for the gospel itself and what we've received from Jesus. It is the word of our mouth, the testimony of the believer, that overcomes the evil one. That's what it says in Revelation. Our testimony overcomes him. And it burns like fire when people hear it. There's nothing better than to hear someone's testimony and to hear them say, I don't know how this happened, but once I was here and now I'm new. It's fabulous. And we need to practice saying it. I would love, thank you, I would love in your groups today, as you talk about this, Set your times at these lunches you're getting together. I hear the groups are close this year. I'm loving that. This is answer to lots of praying from all of us, that our groups would be warm places, hot places again for fellowship and growth. Share your testimonies. Take time each week to hear somebody, just 2 or 3 minutes. This is how I came to the Lord, or this is what I'm thinking, or I'm not really sure why I'm here, but I'm thinking this might be something I need to hear. Wherever you are, speak where you are and what your need is or what you have found, who has found you. Because as we do that, the Lord is so pleased, and the enemy is overcome in our lives. The lies fall off. The deception falls away, and it's not gray anymore, it's clear. This is what we are in Him is new. The new revelation in the New Testament through Paul was Christ in you is the hope of glory. Nothing will burn us up because it is Christ in us, and He is enduring. And He has snatched us from the fire and purified us and will purify us through our hard times as we embrace them, embracing tribulation and giving thanks to God in our hearts that He alone is God and He is good, good all the time. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Elijah and this picture of sitting there and speaking out Your judgments. They were not his judgments, Lord, they were Yours. Father, thank You for the captain who got on his knees and bowed and became Your servant in front of everybody. Lord, we want to be like him. We want to be unafraid to stand with You, and particularly in political season, politically with every kind of news on television there is, Lord. We want to stand with Your truth and Your coming and Your love for all people. And there is nothing better than the cross of Jesus and that forgiveness and the righteousness and holiness of Your name and Your character. We worship You this morning. We praise You that our judgment was taken in the cross of Jesus. Amen. Amen.